Hi everyone, this is Dr. Cheryl Selman and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me. It's another opportunity to have empowering information at your fingertips so you can make truly informed decisions with your life and your health. And I just love having everyone join me for these conversations because I have the opportunity to present people that totally inspire me, and I know they totally inspire you. So that's really what it's all about. It's always growing, expanding, learning more. I believe that's really what life is here to offer us, and that's what we're doing on the show. So I'm so glad you're joining me today on What Women Must Know. As always, I have a great show in store for you. And I want to welcome people who may be joining me for the very first time. I would love for you to go and visit my website, What Women Must Know, because if you do that and opt in or go to my Facebook page, which is What Women Must Know as well, and either place, you will get all the archives of my interviews. So if you don't get to listen to them in real time, they will be sent to you every week. And in addition, I have some special reports, and I always post new and interesting information. So both places, my website, What Women Must Know, and the Facebook page are good places to learn, to grow, and you'll always be able to listen to these shows because you don't want to miss any one of these great conversations. And today is no exception. We have a wonderful interview. My guest today is an extraordinary healer, teacher, he's profound in what he's doing. His name is Richard Gordon, and we're going to be talking about the secret nature of matter. And really, we're going to be talking about how all of us have a gift of healing. Let me just tell you a little bit about Richard. Richard is considered a pioneer in the field of energy medicine with more than 40 years of experience. He is the author of 4 best-selling books, now published in 17 languages. And Richard attended the Christo School of Natural Medicine, had been on the faculty at Heartwood Institute and the Holistic Health Institute. With certified practitioners of his work in over 50 countries, Richard's work was praised by Dr. Norman Shealy, founding president of the American Holistic Medical Association, as the first technique that may truly allow all of us to become healers. And Richard is the founder of Quantum Touch Organization, is a visionary and a pioneer with 37 years of experience in the field of energy medicine. And he is the author of the best-selling book, Quantum Touch, The Power to Heal. And his most recent book that was just launched is The Secret Nature of Matter. So we have a wonderful conversation in store, and it's such a pleasure to welcome Richard Gordon to the show. Hello, Richard.
Well, thanks for having me. It's great to be here. Appreciate it.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you join us. You are such an inspiration. We were talking before we began our interview, and I was just saying how much I've been inspired by the work you're doing as I've been researching what you are all about and what you're teaching and how far and wide your work has spread around the world. It's a powerful time for all of us. So I really want everyone to take this opportunity now that we have you with us to learn about quantum touch, this concept of what is how the universe really works and why we can all become healers in a very simple and relatively short period of time when we understand how it really works here. So maybe we can begin by just sharing with us, Richard, the moment that this all unfolded for you.
Sure. It actually started when I was about 23, and I went to a doctor, and he said, yeah, you got a lot of symptoms, but none of it's bad enough to really treat yet, so why don't we wait till you get worse? Why don't you come back when you feel worse? And I thought, well, that's stupid. So that's when I went to the holistic health school. I learned polarity therapy. It took me from feeling my worst to feeling my best in an hour. That was pretty astounding. About 3.5, 4 years later, I wrote a book on polarity therapy that came out in 1978 called Your Healing Hands, The Polarity Experience. And that book went on to become a bestseller throughout the 1980s. And a few months before the book was actually in print, I met a gentleman named Robert Rasmussen. And this bored, obese man had never taught a workshop in his life. He just had developed something on his own without ever teaching it. He just was practicing. He was booked up a year in advance to do healing sessions. And he told tall tales, like a broken leg spontaneously healing and a tumor the size of grapefruit melting in an hour to nothing. And I thought, this guy's so full of it, I don't believe anything he's saying. But then he said, oh, well, I just touch people and the bones move back into alignment. And then there's my girlfriend standing in front of the room. I'm sitting 6 or 8 feet away. I'm watching him touch her hip. And she has a major scoliosis, and the hips just roll right back to alignment. And I'm seeing her touch her cranial bones, and they're moving, and the shoulders. And in about 8 or 10 minutes, she was 50% aligned, and my jaw was on the floor. I assume no one else is ever going to learn this, and certainly not me. But I learned that I could actually emulate and do what he was doing, and eventually took over in his retirement many, many years later, gave it a name, brought it out there to the world, took out all the woo that he had added to it, made it a very simple, direct system, made it much more powerful by finding out what actually was working, and have continued to evolve it. Now, then we learned how to work 2 or 3 times faster without touching, and then we learned how it relates to matter and consciousness, and so the whole thing just continues to open up and evolve.
So, help us understand, when we talk about quantum touch and we talk about a quantum universe, which are terms I'm sure people have heard, but from your experience and your understanding, what really is the nature of reality as we're experiencing, and why the technique that you've developed is so powerful and relatively easy to teach people to do?
Okay. Let's back way up. All healing is self-healing. The cells heal themselves. I don't know how to heal a paper cut on my finger, but the body and spiritual intelligence knows how to do that. We have an energy that moves through us that we call life force energy, or prana, or chi, or ki, and Dr. Beverly Rubick found 76 words that different cultures use to describe this animating current of life. It turns out that without any attunements or magic symbols or woo of any kind, you can generate this energy within your system using simple breathing and body awareness exercises. Then you create a field of this energy with your love and intention, and then you hold that field around affected areas, like say somebody hurt their knee. So you sandwich the knee between your hands. You do the breathing and body awareness energy work to raise your energy higher. Then there's a very simple process called resonance and entrainment, meaning when two things vibrate at different frequencies, either they're going to match one way or another. Either the high frequency will match the low one matches the high one, or they meet in the middle. So what the practitioner does is they're raising their energy higher and higher throughout the session, and the other person's energy matches your energy, and then their body and spiritual intelligence utilizes that energy to its best advantage and outcome. And what we usually see is a very profound pain reduction, reduction of inflammation, and acceleration of the healing process. But we recognize that the definition of a healer is someone who is sick. And a great healer was someone who was very sick and got well quickly. A person who was sick and got well is a healer. Someone who gets well very quickly from something bad is a great healer. We don't actually heal other people. We hold the field of energy to allow themselves to get well. That's like a quick general overview of the process of energy healing. And you brought up the whole thing of quantum. It's a whole other aspect of the story, but here we are.
Well, I think it's, it's a really important paradigm shift for so many people, because there's a belief that healing takes time. It requires a lot of treatments. It maybe requires, nutrition, supplements, changing emotional states. You know, there's so much that we believe is involved in the healing process. But it sounds
exactly
like what you are developing accelerates the possibility for healing.
It generally does. Healing does take time. Sometimes you'll see things happen instantaneously that look like miracles, but most of the time it's a process. Now, I've discovered that there are three mechanisms the body has for extraordinary self-healing. We are all familiar with the placebo effect and how the use of suggestion or belief or deception, can cause the body to do some extraordinary self-healing. However, nobody likes to be lied to, and it only works about a third of the time. That's one avenue of extraordinary self-healing. A second avenue for stimulating self-healing is through energy healing work, like quantum touch, Reiki, polarity therapy, Jinshin, Jitsu, and so forth. There's many different modalities of energy healing, and that stimulates the body's own self-healing mechanism. So we recently conducted a study with people with high levels of pain, primarily due to fibromyalgia, arthritis, or severe accidents. And of the 41 people in the study and the 50 pain conditions that were being treated, we saw 100% of the conditions responding to a single quantum touch session with an average of 67.4% reduction of pain in a peer-reviewed study that we published. So That was pretty good. But there's actually a third avenue of extraordinary self-healing that very few people even know about, and that's helping people to discover the emotional cause of the condition. And when it's released and processed properly, not only can symptoms disappear, but people can feel grateful for having had the condition because it showed how they had stopped loving. That the body has the ability to heal itself, but oftentimes it's holding back because there's something emotional we're trying to learn in the process.
So can you give us some experiences that you've had over the years that are really profound in terms of the results that were experienced so people can get a sense of what's possible?
There are thousands of them, and we publish them every week in our newsletter at quantumtouch.com. They're really amazing. One of my favorites was my friend Terry. She was a social worker, and there was a baby born with severe fetal alcohol syndrome and addicted to amphetamine. The baby was born 13 weeks prematurely, wasn't strong enough to cry. It was just skin and bones. Mom had gotten virtually all of her calories from alcohol during her pregnancy. And so... she adopted the baby because the judge said, if you want to take care of it, you'll probably do a better job than the institution. So she took the baby home, and she and her husband were both quantum touch instructors and practitioners. And they fed the baby well, but they also ran energy into the baby every day. By the time the baby was 3 and 4, he was average height and weight, and he had above average intelligence. And the prognosis for this child was a 30 to 50 IQ and lifelong institutionalization, and the child grew up to become a very healthy, center of love in the community person who actually developed the ability to see energy. We see so many extraordinary things. In fact, when I go in front of a group of people who have learned quantum touch, I'll ask the group, I'll say, how many of you have seen something that could only really be described as a miracle? And most of the hands go up. They've seen phenomenon like a severe burn that, where you know it's going to blister, and it doesn't blister and doesn't scar, and it stops hurting after, 15, 20 minutes or whatever, or 10 minutes even, or less. We've seen so many kinds of things that have responded. It's actually a more interesting question sometimes. Say, well, what doesn't respond? That's also a very difficult question to answer.
Well, why? What doesn't respond?
We don't know. we see, like, for instance, my teacher, Bob Rasmussen, he says, well, everything seems to work, except the only thing I haven't been able to help was hernias. And then I met a man who said, oh, yeah, Bob healed my hernia. I don't know the answer to the question, to be honest.
Everything is possible, really.
Pretty much.
Yes.
And what I see is that when, like, for instance, a friend of mine had really bad sciatica pain, and it's usually pretty easy work on the piriformis and the, you know, certain muscle groups. And I worked with her for about 8 or 10 minutes, and it didn't help her at all. But then I helped her find the emotional cause, and she was able to sleep easily and not cry in bed because the pain was so great, and she hadn't had her sciatic pain come back. If we can't get it with technique number one, which is the energy work, which is not going to work all the time, it's not perfect, then we go to the backup big guns of the emotional causation work. So this allows us to help a much wider range of conditions than we would otherwise.
Well, that makes sense to me, because the emotional dynamic is often the driver for why the body is out of balance in the first place. So it would be extremely beneficial to have access to the emotional, suppressed or unresolved emotional energy. So is that a different technique than the technique you use?
That technique took me 30 years to develop. It started back in 1980 when I woke up with severe flu symptoms, a gurgling chest cough, high fever, sore throat, congestion, head aching, bones aching. And I just attended a seminar where the teacher was saying that all illness has an emotional component, usually suppressed anger. So I thought, okay, what am I upset about? And I couldn't find anything. In fact, oddly enough, I was feeling emotionally numb. I couldn't feel any emotion. I searched my childhood. I couldn't find anything. And then after about 8 or 10 minutes of looking, it suddenly dawned on me that 3 days prior to waking up sick, I had felt very humiliated by something a friend had said in front of a group of friends. And I thought, and then all of a sudden my emotions came flooding in on me. I got angry, I cried, I vented for about 6 or 10 minutes. And then I got up, took a shower, drove downtown Santa Cruz, sat in the sun drinking a cup of coffee, and halfway through the cup I thought, oh my God, I was sick this morning. Completely no flu symptoms at all. Then it took me almost 30 years after that experience to put together the entire system, a simple 7-step process that teaches people how to discover the emotional cause, release the emotions, and then be able to take responsibility for what you've been holding on to, and then how to take that and move it through remorse, through forgiveness, into explosive, overwhelming self-love. And that's the process. And so it's a step-by-step process. And that's the deepest healing I know of, because it really shows us that we are spiritual beings, because every little minute aspect of a condition reminds us of how we shut down our emotions and the feelings we didn't want to experience because they were too painful or too upsetting.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So it's really being able to work with those levels when necessary and you have the resources. This is what you're teaching now. It sounds like you have a really comprehensive program or comprehensive modality that is able to deal with wherever the issues may lie.
Yeah, I mean, first line of defense, we do the energy healing. It usually takes the pain away. It would certainly be a fantastic thing to use to prevent opioid addiction, because we're so good at removing pain. And if they got a session or two a day, they'd probably never consider using opioids to take care of pain. It's something that we'd like to see implemented, starting with research and then implemented in hospitals all over the world, because it would accelerate the healing process. But when that isn't enough, we go deeper into the emotional level.
So, lots of questions I want to ask. So let's start by if you can talk more about what is called conscious entanglement.
Okay, that's a big subject. So what to understand
a good one.
That we need to understand, first off, that I have had, not 99% of the people interested in my work are interested in pain relief and accelerating healing. So just so you get that, I have had a fascination with how this work can move bones into alignment because it's something visible that I can see in a few seconds. And so when people have twisted hips called pelvic torsion or twisted cranial bones where the occiput, the bone in the back of the head, is twisted, so one of your thumbs lifting up on the back of the skull, the bottom of the skull lifting up, you might see a half inch between the left and right side, and they're only a few inches apart. So that's a very twisted situation. And chiropractors will untwist pelvic torsion with a lot of force and a lot of crunching noise. And mm-hmm. I discovered through my teacher that I could touch a person lightly and cause those hip bones to untwist. But just like a chiropractic adjustment, they would become twisted after 3 or 4 days. And then I found out that by meditating on a bone behind the nose and eyes called the sphenoid bone, I could cause the hips and the cranial bones to untwist permanently, and it took about 4 and 10 seconds of meditation to cause that to occur. That became my window for understanding the intersection of matter and consciousness. To give you some perspective, if you were Galileo and you wanted to know if the Earth went around the sun or vice versa, how would you do that? By looking through a telescope. Well, Galileo figured it out by looking at Venus, because Venus turned out to have phases like the moon, half phase and quarter phase and so forth. And then by doing the math, he could calculate that the Earth went around the sun. Similarly, for Einstein, they finally found a solar eclipse, and they looked at the position of stars during an eclipse in order to know the gravitational lensing was true, which validated his theories. I'm looking at something equally obscure, which is pelvic and occipital torsion, to see the intersection of matter and consciousness, because I get a yes or no answer in a few seconds. So what I found was that if I meditate on any kind of physical object, glass, plastic, rubber, paper, a pebble, you name it, cigarette butt, every kind of matter holds energy and tension equally. And if you touch somebody with a charged object, then you can untwist the hips and occiput just with a light touch anywhere, just with intention and a touch. Doesn't work if you just hand the object to the person. You have to have a little bit of intention and just touch them, and you can get that to occur. So I started doing experiments that are listed in my new book, kind of like a diary of I tried this and I tried that. And I discovered that if I joined objects together in my mind, like say I had 10 pennies, and I look at them all, and I concentrate upon them all, and I join them all together as one in my mind, anything you do to any one of the pennies would happen to all the pennies together. That's called conscious entanglement. See, it isn't an easy thing to just say in two sentences. All objects hold energy and intention equally, which leads me to one possible idea, which is that all matter is made, this is a very technical term, of subatomic God stuff. Everything is made of the consciousness of the universe. And as such, it is all capable of holding energy and tension and testing it. So very early on, I had to check to see if I was deceiving myself. And it was a very simple test to check that out. My friend worked at a Whole Foods with a massage chair, and we'd have people coming by all the time, and I'd measure their hips and walk around the corner for a minute and come back and try to guess whether my friend had handed them a charged coin or he hadn't handed it to them. And it would take me about a second or a second and a half to know absolutely yes or no whether he had given it to them or not, because that's how long it takes to look at their hips to know if they're aligned or still misaligned. And once I got it right a dozen times in a row, I thought, okay, well, I'm not deceiving myself. So once I was clear, yeah, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, finish, because please go ahead.
Yeah, once I was clear that it was working, then I felt free to continue doing my experiments, because the first rule of science is don't fool yourself.
So let me just help people to really understand what you did with this experience. So you held a quarter, and in your mind's eye, you held an image of that quarter being infused with the thought, the intention, the love, whatever you were mm-hmm. projecting, right? Am I
yeah.
right so far?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, there is a specific meditation that I use for aligning a person's hips and octopus.
Ah,
and I imagined that I was actually working on a person, and I put that energy intention into the quarter, gave him the quarter, he put it on a shelf, and then he would either hand them the quarter or not hand them the quarter, then he'd take the quarter back from them, and I would come around the corner like a minute later and try to guess whether or not they had received the quarter or not, and I just instantly knew by looking at the people, palpating, I touched the top of the hips, I said, yes, you did, or no, you didn't. And
because when your energy is out of balance, it manifests as this misalignment, that one hip is up, and one is higher than the other.
Actually,
right?
I wouldn't even say it that way. I would say people are born with it, out of alignment.
Oh, really? Wow. So then it's a bigger adjustment.
Oh, this is a lifetime adjustment.
Wow. Because, and what I really want people to understand is that you, with the specific meditation, your intention, you sent that energy, you directed that energy to the quarter. So now the quarter is resonating at that frequency. And just by handing that person that quarter, it altered their energy field.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know who Michael Beckwith is?
Yes.
He's the guy that started Agape International. And he's been on all the What the Bleep kind of movies. And secret movies and stuff like that. Anyway, he and I were at a retreat in Cancun, Mexico, and I said, hey, Michael, you want to see a magic trick? He and I go way back. And he said, sure. So I touched him with this charged pendant that I have, and he said, oh, my God, I just felt my face change shape, and I felt my hips move, and I felt this. He said, touch her. I want to watch. So I touched his friend, and he said, I just saw her hip drop 2 inches, and he got really excited. So that evening, we were having a big beach party, and he takes me by the hand like I was a child, says, Richard, I've got 20 people I want you to touch with your pendant. And I said, Michael, I'm not going to do that. He said, well, why not? I said, I want you to touch them with the pendant. He goes, oh, okay. What are the instructions? I said, well, you have to hold the pendant in your hand, and then you have to touch them with it. He says, that's it? I said, well, actually, there's one more step, but you're doing that. You have to have the intention. And that's why he wanted to do it. He didn't want to just walk around touching people. He wanted to touch them with the intention of causing alignment. And I've tested this dozens and dozens of times now, where I'll find a stranger, even a skeptic, who knows nothing about my work. And I'll have them touch somebody with the intent of aligning their posture. I'll give them one of our pendants that are all group charged together, and they'll do it. And they'll be astounded because even a lay person, if you find somebody who's very uneven with their hips, a lay person will be able to discern that in 15 seconds of training. Okay, can you feel how you're pushing down on the bone on both sides, get your eyes level with your hands? Can you see the right side is 2.5 inches higher than the left? Yes, they can see that immediately. And then they touch them with a pendant, and they put their hands back on, and start shaking their head and dropping their jaw, going, how is this possible? And so people can even feel it on themselves, especially if they can feel the unevenness of the occipital bones. I made a couple of videos Quantum Touch pendant demo, where I have people touching the occipital bones, lifting their thumbs off gently, and then I just touch like their elbow or anywhere, their shoulder, with one of my pendants. And I say, okay, now put your thumbs right back in that spot. And they usually start laughing, going, how did you do that? How is this possible? And they start laughing because it's so crazy to think that the fused bones, according to Gray's Anatomy, could actually move. It's crazy. But then one day I was seeing, I did an experiment that I got very upset. There was this woman at a coffee shop, and I laid down a dozen pennies behind her on a long table, about 3 or 4 inches apart. And I meditated on penny number one, who was directly behind her. I didn't want her watching the experiment because I didn't want that to influence the result. And I measured her, and she was still very misaligned. Okay, I hadn't done anything yet, which is good. So I meditated on the penny right behind her, but I reached way down 4 feet away and picked up the last penny in the row and handed it to her, and it instantly caused her to be aligned, and I got very upset. Because why is this happening? This doesn't make any sense to me. And then I thought about it and realized that, was it like fire moving through gasoline where all the coins became charged? But that didn't make any sense, because if it moves spontaneously, then the table would be charged, and the floor, the walls, everybody in the coffee shop, and for the planet, for that matter. Well, I know that hadn't happened. So therefore, I came up with a new hypothesis, which I call conscious entanglement. And conscious entanglement meant when I placed all 12 pennies down on the table, I had joined them all together in my mind. And so anything I did to any one of them, meditate on penny number one, but penny 12 is charged. So the very next day, I did an experiment, and I met two women who had a very major twist in their hips. I borrowed some change because I didn't want to use anything I'd ever touched or looked at before, and I just stared at the change. I didn't try to do any healing. I just said, I see all the coins in my hand. I see them all. They're all here. That was my whole thought. And then I put the change on a table and handed each of the women one of the coins, and then I reached into my pocket, pulled out a coin I had previously meditated on, touched for a split second, just tapped one of the coins on the table, and both women were aligned.
It sounds like a magic show, Richard, you know?
It is a magic show. And then I had to do the experiment in reverse the next day, and there was a woman in a cafe. I hadn't seen her in years. And I said, all right, put your change on the table, and she stood up. I measured her. I tapped the change on the table. Nothing happened to her because we hadn't entangled it with her. It was just stranger change. It didn't have any charge connected to it. So when I was at the University of Hong Kong and the University of Macau, I did a different kind of experiment than the one I'd done a few years back when I was there, giving a keynote address. I had about 20, 25 people on stage. This time, instead of meditating on the whole group simultaneously and joining them all together in my mind and then aligning the sphenoid bone behind the nose and eyes, I just had them hold hands. That created entanglement. And then I reached in my pocket, pulled out a charged coin, and just lightly brushed a few hairs of the first woman in line. Swoosh. Like that, and all the people in line were spontaneously aligned. And so, what is Arthur?
Wow! I'm speechless because I'm just imagining the possibility, the potential here, when we have access to this consciousness of how we can facilitate profound healing and transformation to people effortlessly, simply, quickly, instantaneously on many levels.
There's so much that could be learned. That's one of the reasons, one of my long-term goals by the year 2040 is to have this researched at every university in the world. So when I was at that retreat in Cancun, I didn't even know this stuff. And the very last night I was at the retreat, I'm talking to this Italian guy, Gregorio. Everybody loves Gregorio. And we're just chatting away, and he's telling me that he hadn't been able to breathe through his right sinus since he was a teenager, and he used to get into fights. And I said, well, here's two pendants. Hold them on both sides of your nose. 5 minutes later, he's breathing through the right sinus. Then a couple women watching this said, one says, I have TMJ, and she holds it for 5 minutes, and her TMJ disappears. Another woman has TMJ, and her pain goes away. Another woman has pain under her eyes, and that pain went away. And I went, what did I bring forward? Well, right now, we have about 5,000 of our best healing practitioners and friends of Quantum Touch who have their own Quantum Touch entangled pendants. So I have joined all these together very carefully, and each one of these people have added their energy to the collective. So now it's not just my energy, but we're also putting in other things, special gifts, skills, special abilities, and even peak experiences into the pendant. And if people meditate, they can start picking up on those energetics. I've opened a door to a wide range of new possibilities. And so my passion now will be to make a documentary and to get this researched at every university, but eventually taught in every school and practiced in every hospital. So that's what we set the 2040 goal for. It's one of my life goals, to see this work studied at every university, taught in every school, and utilized in every hospital in the world.
Well, it's a wonderful goal to have, because we're just at a time when we're realizing, you know, my favorite movie is The Matrix, right? So The Matrix is such a metaphor of emerging out of a world of power and control to a place of infinite possibilities, just like Neo is dodging those bullets. He didn't even dodge the bullets. They just didn't even exist in his reality when he really connected to that field of infinite possibilities, right? So this is a tool, a resource, an ability that you are making available to people, opening their consciousness. Maybe, you know, through that entanglement process, people shift their consciousness as well, so they can convey what you have brought in and share the amazing results from the Quantum Touch approach to things. You know, those are my thoughts. Anyway, it's exciting, because we're understanding that we are all connected, and that energy and matter are the same, and we can influence and alter the frequencies around us.
Everything may be consciousness. All matter may be a form of consciousness. And everything, all the experiments that I do, I came up with about 20 implications that they lead to. You can't prove any of this, but you can. Everything implies that we are spiritual beings. And so when science eventually studies what it is that I've uncovered, we will make so much progress. But I'm just on my own here doing a little bit of work. When we look at the implications and where this goes, there's so many brilliant things that could happen with this. That could change our institutions, that change the way we identify ourselves, where we realize that our compassion and our love is our greatest resource. We could never let a child be hungry on the planet if compassion was the top priority. It's only when people think the accumulation of property is their top priority that we forgot what's truly valuable to us.
Yeah. So that's wonderful. I wanted to ask. So there's Quantum Touch, which is what we've been talking about. I mean, there's, like we said earlier, there's Reiki, there's Jinshin Jitsu, there's so many healing. How does what you do differ from those other techniques, healing modalities?
Well, we have practitioners of every modality coming into Quantum Touch, and they all tell us that it works faster and easier, it takes less training, they get better results more quickly. Many of them gave up doing many of the other stuff that they were doing. And then with Reiki or massage, people may feel tired or drained at the end of a session. If they lose connection to their gratitude and their love, they can easily match the vibration of the person they're working on. That doesn't happen with quantum touch because we're constantly raising our vibration throughout the session. We're lifting ourselves up. We're working. We're not waiting for energy. We bring it. We bring it with breathing and body awareness. For instance, if you were to stare at your finger and breathe into your finger, imagining you're breathing through your finger, and imagine that you can feel your blood or your tendons or your fingernail, and you keep focusing on your finger while you imagine you're breathing through it, your finger will begin to tingle or vibrate or buzz or pulse or heat up or something. Well, that's what we do with our whole body. We're bringing tremendous amount of awareness through our body in waves, and we do it in conjunction with our breath. It's not just about breathing. It's not just about body awareness. It's the synergy between the breath and the body awareness that raises the vibration of the quantum touch practitioner so they don't get tired or drained, and they will see really fast, extraordinary healing results that the practitioners tell me they haven't seen as often or as dramatically as they do with quantum touch.
So I want you to talk a little bit about the new book you have, The Secret Nature of Matter, but before you go there, I just want you to elaborate a little bit, because we talked about the pendant, but we didn't really explain what it is and how people, and that's the fact that people can purchase one at a really reasonable price, I think. So maybe you can elaborate a little bit more so people can understand what it is that you've created with this pendant and where they can go to get it.
Yeah. Once I had discovered that you could entangle objects together, then I realized I could create an entangled talisman. I don't know that it's ever existed. So what I did was I created a very beautiful-looking pendant and had it manufactured. And once I had them, I joined all of them together in my mind that we had manufactured on the first run, and I put my best healing energy into the pendant. So all the pendants were charged, and I also put in the little bit of intention to cause them to align posture, because that's just fun for me. And then I sent it out as a gift to my top 50 instructors in the world, the ones who had seen the most students, and asked them to add their best healing energy into that collective pendant. And they did. And almost immediately, we started getting orders off the deep end, and we sold the next 1,000 and the next 1,000. We sold about 5,000 now of these. But each person who receives one of these pendants, whether they're, gold or silver plated, it doesn't matter. These could have been made out of old cigarette butts encased in plastic for all that mattered. It wasn't the material or the pattern. It was the consciousness, the entangled consciousness. So when a person receives a new pendant, what they're asked to do is connect to their deepest love, gratitude, deepest sincere wishes, that angelic sense of self that everybody can tap into from time to time, and infuse it with what you want the world to have. And you're also adding your energy to the collective, and anybody who needs that vibration, it's available for them with their pendant. And that also gets you connected with your pendant too. And so people wear them, or they put them on people when they're doing healing work, or they tape them to their foot when they're going to sleep, or do all kinds of things with it. It's just kind of fun to play with. But they're available on our website at quantumtouch.com. And it's just one of many kinds of tools that we have available.
So just to clarify for people, so you've created these pendants, and you have taken the power of your intention, the frequencies that you work with, and because everything is connected, you focused those intentions into the pendants, which are all related because you've seen all of them. So they're all.
I joined them all together.
In your mind.
I very consciously join them all together. Whenever I get a new batch of them, I join them together with every other generation of pendants.
Well,
so they're all equally connected with one another.
So these pendants are holding these energies of that you've infused in everyone. I mean, everyone's adding their own energy. So it must be a very powerful field around those pendants.
Yeah, people who can feel energy. I remember I heard a story recently where this woman was working at a checkout line, and another woman's walking through the line, and the woman at the checkout line, her eyes get really wide and goes, "What is going on with that pendant?" Because she could perceive energy, and she'd never seen anything like that before, that this thing is holding so much energy. And some people, when they get their pendant, find it's just too strong to wear, and they just kind of hold it for 5 minutes a day until they get more acclimated to that kind of vibration. When I take mine off, I feel like I'm naked all of a sudden, like my Superman. My Superman power has just disappeared a little bit, you know. Like I'm just mortal again, you know. It's like I don't have that extra vibration associated that I forget that I have on, because it's become natural for me to wear that vibration.
So really the message that we're talking about and what people are learning and experiencing is that everything is connected. We live in a universe where we're all part of the one, and that through your thoughts, through intentions, you actually can impact, and you are impacting anyway, whether you're conscious of it or not. We're all having an effect by our thoughts and intentions, and by consciously working with the technique you brought through, holding those thoughts and intentions and knowing everything is connected, and you can infuse those intentions into objects, you're creating this huge potential of healing fields and teaching people how to do that in their world as well. Which is, and it's simple, Richard. You know, that's the beauty of it. It's simple when you understand what's really going on here.
Exactly. We forget. We think that the most important things to learn are taught in universities. But the most important thing is that we all have access to love and compassion and gratitude. And the things that really matter to us most are those internal experiences that we have within ourselves. But we think that the material world is what's most real. What's really most real is that love, that connection. And by refocusing and reprioritizing, we can bring about more sanity.
Oh, absolutely. It's time for some quantum leaps, and quantum touch helps us with getting to those quantum leaps in consciousness and understanding the real power that we all have. So I have there are two books that I have. One is Quantum Touch, The Power to Heal, which is the book that came out previously, and then the new book, The Secret Nature of Matter. So in the time we have left, Richard, why don't you share a little bit about these two books, and if people want to learn more about what quantum touch is, if they want to perhaps learn to be a practitioner of quantum touch, how they can do that. But let's start with what's the purpose of these two books and what they offer people.
Yeah. Quantum Touch, The Power to Heal, teaches people how to do a basic quantum touch session and how to amplify the energy very strongly. And it accelerates your own self-healing in the process of caring for other people. So it's very straightforward. We also have a video on our website that teaches that I'm teaching a full weekend workshop on video that people can watch. And I recommend, if they do watch it, to watch it with friends and family. Don't watch it by yourself, because you'll never know how good it is until you practice on other people. So that's, and BYOP, bring your own pain to the session so you can actually see it doing magic. And so there's practitioners and instructors around the world that are accessible on our website. If you want to take a live class, it's always preferable, because you'll actually see people in the room just changing before your eyes, and it's exciting. But The Secret Nature of Matter was my own pet project where I had discovered that I could put consciousness into objects, and I ran 57 experiments to explore the intersection of matter and consciousness and explored all the implications of where this goes and how it could change the world. And it's a book that I'm very fond of, and I'm blown away every time I pick it up because I just can't even believe I discovered this. But it happened, and now I want to see it researched deeply.
And it sounds like it is, because you have all sorts of people who've taken the quantum touch programs, and, you know, doctors and specialists and professors and, I mean, people in the healing arts and people in all sorts of walks of life that are using this. I mean, I saw some of the testimonials from the doctors, the specialists, breast cancer specialists, and, you know, surgeons, all sorts of people who are, you know, are open enough to learn and apply it.
That's really the key, is that when somebody knows something is impossible, they're not usually very open to exploring it. And we have things that are so empirically obvious if they play with it, but they look impossible to somebody who doesn't believe that it's possible. So therefore, it's like people looking through Galileo's telescope. You know, a priest would say, well, it works during the day, but it obviously doesn't work at night because they didn't understand optics. People don't believe in energy healing and life force energy. There's no need to look at something they've already discounted and considered impossible.
So I invite people to go to your website, which is quantumtouch.com. And on that website, you can learn more about what quantum touch is. I also found that, that Richard, you have a, I think we mentioned, an online course, so people can actually do a course online. And for a very nominal fee, they can do that one-day workshop that you facilitated. So you can learn online.
It's a two-day workshop.
Sorry?
It's a two-day workshop.
So there you go. So a two-day workshop, so people can have the experience of you doing the work and learning it as you are teaching it. That's an intention. People can learn. And if people want to pick up your books, which I highly recommend, Quantum Touch, The Power to Heal, and the most recent book, The Secret Nature of Matter, where you can learn more about this amazing ability that we all have. And as you have said in some of your information, you know, children can do it, great-grandparents can do it, anyone in between, can all do this at any age. And the other thing is to learn about the pendant, which really is fascinating to me, Richard, to be honest, the fact that we're able to have this entanglement of the intentions of you and your students held in the field of that pendant and then receive the benefit and share the energy of alignment. All those things really turn me on. I get excited about it.
I'm so excited. When we realize the mind is not confined to the brain, then we realize the death of the brain does not mean the death of the mind. Everything implies that we're spiritual beings.
You know, absolutely. I had Dr. Evan Alexander on the show recently, and he was so inspiring with his experiences of dying, but not really, you know, continuing to exist, and, you know, brought that back and has changed his life and is changing the lives of many people, understanding the same principle that we are energy fields and consciousness, and we don't, you know, our bodies are where we're experiencing it at this moment in time, but we are not limited to the body, nor does it end.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you're making
more exciting.
Gets more and more exciting, and you're making such a huge contribution into this upliftment and awakening of consciousness in humanity right now. It's just wonderful, and I'm so glad you were able to spend this time with us and share what you're doing, and I'm sure people are really inspired, and I know everyone will be going over to quantumtouch.com, learning more, and realizing what's possible. Anything is possible.
Exactly.
That's really what your message is. So, and it's not about space and time, is it, Richard? It can be instantaneous.
No. We really don't know our limits. In fact, we're just breaking through to find out that how unlimited we truly are.
Yeah, beautiful. It's a wonderful thought. Wonderful thought to complete our conversation today. So I want to thank you, Richard Gordon, for being our guest. People, again, please visit quantumtouch.com. I want to thank all of you listening for another wonderful opportunity to expand our horizons. And as always, I invite you to honor the wisdom of your feminine self, and see you next time. Bye for now.